Hey, everybody, we're back again. It's Mike and Kelly here with another episode of The After Show. I am Michael Rose, and we record this on September 20th, just after, one day after, the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus launch across this nation of ours. I am joined tonight, of course, by my partner in crime, Miss Kelly Grimont.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going, Kelly?
Not too bad. How about you?
I think I'm edging back from formerly stuffy to currently stuffy, unfortunately.
Oh.
Spring cold.
Yeah. But in the middle of September.
Spring cold. Did I say spring? Yes. Autumn cold. Thank you for setting
thanks,
me straight.
Thanks, climate change. Okay.
Thanks, temperate weather. But other than that, I am well. I got to visit with everybody over at the Fifth Avenue store yesterday morning, bright and early, which was an exciting and interesting experience. I have to say that after, 8 years of iPhone launch lines, mm-hmm. and I've never bought anything on launch day. The closest I came was the iPad, which I bought about a week later.
Okay.
The original iPad. Mm-hmm. And what am I really doing here at 7 o'clock in the morning watching people stand in line to shop?
You're waiting for someone to recognize you.
Well, more on that in a moment. But what is the value here? Is this mm-hmm. really worthwhile? And then, it's not about the shopping experience. It's about seeing people get really excited and they're happy to be there. They've dedicated a lot of time and a lot of energy to this. And, I try to not let my cynicism. I've got at least another couple of years left pre full-on cynic. But on the topic of being recognized, I did end up this was the first year actually in ever where Apple PR, Apple Media Relations actually got back to me when I said, hey, I'd like to come take pictures at the launch. And they said, sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
So I ended up standing in the photo bullpen area, picture taking bullpen area, photo bullpen, next to the entrance of the cube, and I was standing next to someone who was taking pictures of the iPhone 6 line and the first buyers taking pictures of them with an iPhone 6.
Oh, wow.
6 Plus. I was like, that's odd. And I looked a little more closely and realized it was USA Today's Ed Begg. So I introduced myself and he, cordially at least pretended to know, about what Tua was. He seemed, there was a light of recognition in his eyes. So that was nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But he let me hold his phones. I got to the first 6 Plus and the 6 that I got to, sort of size check were his review units and talked about a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit more in the show about why the 6 versus the 6 Plus and someone I know mm-hmm. who is really leaning toward a 6 Plus. But I wanted to hear what your experience of that first day was, knowing that you and I have a certain secret shame in common.
Well, mostly I've spent a lot of time trying to dodge those lines because they seemed really long this year for whatever reason. It seemed like, and
oh, yeah.
It's just me sort of gauging impressions from various places, because thank you, internet, I know a lot of people in a lot of places. So finding out that the line in Honolulu was redonkulous, finding out that the one here for the beautiful new Stanford style store that opened earlier this year in downtown Portland was redonkulous, finding out that somebody, maybe it was you, posted mm-hmm. a picture someone had taken of the map. It was like maps, and somebody had sketched in a line of this is how long the line
that
is
was,
on
that,
the map.
That was Business Insider, and actually, I was a writer for Business Insider who said that the line went 12 blocks, so from 59th Street, 60th Street in Manhattan, all the way up to 71st Street. And I took issue with that because I, at 7:30 when I got there, the line was nowhere near that long. They hadn't started letting people in yet.
Yeah.
But there's no one near that long. And in fact, what apparently happened in that hour and a half was that they opened the sort of holding snake on the plaza beside in front of FAO
yeah.
Schwartz. And actually, everybody sort of compressed.
So it became a bank line.
It became a line. Like before, it was like a stretched out
back and forth and back
snake
and forth
of people, all the way up to, but all the, apparently all the way up to 71st Street, which is insane. Insane, I tell you. And I didn't believe
crazy.
Her. Yeah, they're crazy.
And I mean, like, the lines here were crazy. The line in San Diego when Adam Christensen went and picked up his phone. He was actually live streaming from the line when because he was in the reservation line.
Okay.
And so we got to see him get in and get his phone. And that line was crazy and, like, all over the place. Like, everywhere it seemed like the line was crazy. But I don't know that the excitement of previous lines. I mean, especially to me, the thing that was so surprising about it is that everybody said this is so much worse than last year's line. And the reason that was interesting to me is because last year for the five, for the five plus.
Series, 5S, the five plus.
Yeah. Well, cause it wasn't the five, it was the S and the C.
Yep.
When on 0 day, when those were released, there was no pre-order.
That's true.
So you couldn't prearrange to be a person in the reservation line. Like, I know there's one in there with my name on it. The only way you could get one was to roll up to the store on 0 day and hope. And that's the thing I think that always surprises me about the line is that the crazy line is people who are doing this on spec. So people who think that, like, oh, I've got one, you know, in-store pickup, so I'm going to go get in line at noon on Tuesday. No, that's not who those people are. The people who have been camped out all week waiting to get into the Apple Store to get their hands on the new phone are people who are doing so as at a roll of the dice. Like, they're sort of waiting in hope is what they're doing. The reservation line, I know loads of people who were getting phones this year who basically all had them reserved. They were all people who somehow, you know, whether it was having a small army of iOS devices and Macs that they could use to try to get into the store, you know, and get something ordered for in-store pickup or what, I don't know. But I know a lot of people who were like, yeah, I was there, you know, half an hour because it took me a long time to find a place to park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there were separate, separate lines at Fifth Avenue and I think at most of the stores for pre-order and for
There was a reservation line and a I live in hope line. Yeah.
And I later went over to the Grand Central store because that happens to be right across the street from my office. And there was a huge line. And I did hear from somebody later on via social media that it remained ridiculously long throughout the day. And there were, it did seem like heavier demand. Everyone who was looking at the overall demand and the kind of lines that there were seemed like it was heavier demand. Now, the flip side of that demand, first day demand, was pointed out. It's pointed out now in a short film that Casey Neistat of the Neistat Brothers made and posted to YouTube. It pointing out something that is not a secret and is not something that is a surprise to anybody who's been covering iPhone launches for the past few years, which is the fact that a lot of those first day buyers and a lot of the people sitting in line to buy phones on the first day of release are buying them for overseas gray market resale. And it's hard to talk about this because one ends up sounding quite racist. And there's not a lot of ways to avoid that.
Well, and this is what we're saying is that, like, every single person waiting in line who looked a certain way was totally there to buy them, to buy as many as they could with cash out of contract so that they can all go back to another country that isn't getting the iPhone on 0 day. But those people are going to sell them for twice as much as the person in the store paid.
Now, are you saying we can't say that or we can say that?
I'm saying we're not saying that.
Well,
this is a thing that is happening, is that there are people who are sitting in line who are not there to up the contract or to purchase a new phone for them or for someone in their family. There are a not insignificant number of these people. Of the people that are in the short film that we saw, because it's out there, it's publicly available, anybody wants to can go and look. Most of the people they are speaking with who end up taking their little white bag with the shiny silver logo on it and walking around the corner from the Apple store and handing that bag over to someone and then getting a wad of cash for it, most of those people tend to be middle-aged or late middle-aged Asian people.
This is correct.
And the reason I can tell you this is because the person who shot the film, Casey Neistat, needed to get a person who spoke Mandarin in order to get to communicate effectively with these people. And they tended to, they looked as though they were maybe in their 40s or 50s. And they were people just sitting, like one woman was like knitting, sitting in line knitting, like, hey, what's up? You know, and they walked in, they bought some phones, they handed them over to someone else who gave them a pile of cash. And now that person is going to take those phones to another country and sell those phones for an even larger pile of cash.
This is correct. And within the Apple Store Fifth Avenue, you know, even though I would say the line at Fifth Avenue was probably a little bit more heterogeneous than it was at Grand Central or at Soho, where Casey Neistat shot some of his footage. There was still a very heavy preponderance in the early part of the line, in the front 20, mm-hmm. 30, 40, 50, 100, 200, 300 people of, you know, older Chinese ladies.
Yeah.
And older Chinese ladies who, when I went down into the store to take pictures, and I will share one of these pictures on the blog, older Chinese ladies who were buying two iPhones for cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing.
Now, remember, these phones are off contract.
Right. They're unlocked. They're unlocked and they're not available. The iPhone 6 has not launched in Hong Kong or mainland China or Taiwan or mainland China yet.
Yeah.
So obviously the reaction, the funny thing about this is there's a couple different reactions. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, first of all, what I want to point out here is that the 6 and the 6 Plus are brand new and they come
and
in
big.
16.
And they're big.
They come in 16. Nobody's really buying those. They come in 64 and 128. And remember, a week ago, the largest phone that you could buy was 64. So they've doubled that capacity. And this is not a cheap phone if you buy it on a subsidized plan, number one. Number two, these people aren't buying them on subsidized plans because they need them to be off contract and they need them to be, you know, AT&T so that they're a GSM phone that isn't locked to anything. And then they're going to take them to another country and sell them for even more money than that. This is the thing that is amazing to me, is that somebody has that amount of money and is willing to pay it to get the phone before it shows up in their country at an Apple store.
And thousands of people. Possibly mm-hmm. tens of thousands of people have that amount of money and are willing to pay it.
They must, because they're buying those iPhones by the bucket load.
Well, I mean, this the old joke, you know, if you're one in a million in China, there are a million people just like you.
Yeah.
And so that's essentially the case, that, you know, maybe one out of, you know, 200 or 300 or 400,000 people in China could think about affording mm-hmm. you know, an off-contract gray market iPhone, but there are millions of those people.
But that's a lot.
That's
a lot
of people.
Yeah.
So there are a couple ways of looking at this. One is that, and I think the reaction of I don't know if it's the filmmaker's point of view with Casey Neistat, or it's certainly the point of view of the guy who he gives, you know, time to at the end of the film.
Yeah.
To rant about it. The point of view there is a point of view that this is bad for the brand, and it's bad for the air quote scare quote real customers, or the people who are really buying mm-hmm. these phones. Certainly, if you are a person who is not trying to resell a phone on day one, but instead wants one for yourself and didn't take the time to pre-order it, or didn't get up in the middle of the night to pre-order it, this is consuming a scarce resource. The folks
yes.
who are doing this are consuming a scarce resource, and they are, you know, naturally your competition in
yeah.
the nature red of tooth and claw
yes.
idea of competition. So that's not good for you. However, there is another, you know, and the part of it is bad for the brand, or like, is this really what Apple wants to project? And the response to that basically is, hey, it's a free country.
Mm-hmm.
Although you wouldn't know that from the scene of the woman getting arrested in the middle of the film.
That's
but
true.
But it's a free country. And so Apple has run into problems with this before, having, you know, doing mm-hmm. day one credit card only. Like the one of the ways around this was credit card only purchasing on day
uh-huh.
one, which people got in an uproar about.
Yes.
And that was in part to try and stem gray market pickup.
Yeah.
Now it's you can only get two.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is there are hundreds of people online who are all buying two phones with cash.
Exactly.
There's just not a lot of ways you can effectively address this without being fascist.
Yeah, really the only thing that I can think of that Apple could do that would make it better is to find a way to somehow compress the release date in the rest of the world. Remember we used to see this with movies where before the internet, I would see a movie in June and then it would be in Europe maybe in July, like if it was a really big title, and then it could make it to other parts of the world maybe in the fall. And now you see where they coordinate the moment that the film goes live.
Day-day.
So everybody, you know, syncs their watches to midnight Pacific and, you know, 12:01 a.m. Pacific time. And so it starts here. And so maybe it's noon on Saturday someplace, but they get to see the movie the exact same time that I do. And I think really the only way that Apple's going to be able to address this is to be able to release the phone, and we all know how likely this is, release the phone in the whole world at the same time. And I know part of the reason they don't do that is supply. At least for now, anyway.
Well, they can only make so many screens. They can only make so many bot chassis. And and also, one of the there's an unfortunate coincidence of the phone that is going potentially going to be the most popular in the Far East is the 6 Plus, which happens to be the most constrained one.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there is a legitimate concern around overall availability and fairness. And, you know, this is the market that the phones are in. And there are consumers that want 6 Pluses who can't get them because the supply is being soaked up for the gray market. And that is you can have a conversation about that as a market management or retail problem without getting into the really nasty nativist, it becomes problematized very quickly.
Oh, truly. And the other thing is that you could also be a person who waited early today, because we know Apple doesn't shoot their wad on 0 day. So anybody who went this morning and was patient and waited outside might be able to walk out with a phone today because they had a few for today and they will probably have a few for tomorrow. And then after that, as regular shipments start coming in again, they're still not going to be what they needed to be for 0 day. So you may be able to get one, but it may take a couple of weeks. And the thing I guess I don't understand, and maybe this is just because I'm not a guy, but I don't have a deep inner need for 0 day. Like, even if I was eligible for a phone, I'm going to go ahead and out myself. This is my no longer secret shame because I'm telling the internet. I buy my phones on contract. I buy them subsidized because I have a budget and I have to buy other things like weed and feed for my vast backyard, and I have this, you know, house payment that hangs over my head all the time. And like, when you have a pretty serious mortgage problem, as in you have one, then, you know, being able to do things like drop $800 on a phone every year don't fall into my budget. I'm not that guy. I would like to be that guy someday, but right now I am not that guy. So I buy my phone on contract. So when I bought my 5S, I went into it knowing full well that whatever Apple did this fall, I was completely not a part of that agreement. However, Mr. Kelly hasn't upgraded in forever. He used his iPhone 4 until the home button wore out, basically.
That's where Heidi's iPhone 4 is at right now.
And we tried all the tricks, you know, take the Q-tip and dip it in a little bit of rubbing alcohol and rub around the edge and press a little bit to kind of get the sticky out from underneath it. And maybe it'll bounce back a little bit. We did those things for a while. And I eventually bought a 4S 2 years ago, just almost exactly 2 years ago, because I ended up actually getting it on my birthday in the middle of November. And I bought it off contract because I wanted to be on the evolution cycle, not the revolution cycle. So what I'm looking for is I want to get the 6S. I want to get the 5S. You know, that's what I have. I have a 5S. And that's what I want. Like, I was interested to see what Apple was going to do this year, but I always found myself really wishing that I had the next thing. So when I had a 3G, I really wished I had a 3GS because I have video. When I had a 4, I really wanted a 4S because Siri was an important feature to me. So I wanted to get on the evolution track. So I am. Now, like I said, Mr. Kelly hasn't upgraded in 100 years. He's using my previous 4S, and it works like a champ. But it was really funny because today we happened to swing through Best Buy and attempt to pick up a phone. We can talk about that in a minute. To pick it up and hold it and see what it was like. And he took one look at that Plus before he even laid his hand upon it and said, "There is no way I am putting that in my pocket."
That's what she said. Oh, no, actually, that's what he said.
That is what he said. Yeah. And I said, "I'm reasonably certain there's no way that fits in my pants." It's really what it comes down to.
It just gets better.
See, I'm going to have to just go there and own it because I know someone else is going to. I have a weekend home there, as a matter of fact. So it was just, it was weird. Now, I will say, I think that it's, I think there's two things that they solve with the 6 because I did get to go pick them up and touch them. Like you, only sort of like you did, because rather than having a dummy model there that they don't necessarily need to chain up to anything. If anyone's been to a Best Buy, you know they do this with everything. They have this ridiculous anti-theft sensor on the back, and they've got the big thing for the lightning cable and whatever, and it's stuck on in the back in like 3 places. So I couldn't really tell what it felt like in my hand, you know, to use, because I had to flip it over in order to hold it with the screen to my palm so that I could see what it was like to try and stretch my hand all the way across the phone.
Yeah.
So I took a couple of pictures of it that way. I don't even think with whatever they're calling one-handed mode that I would be able to maneuver the Plus with one hand, because it's my hand. But I think the 6 is a lot nicer size than I thought it would be. And Mr. Kelly was sort of a similar mindset. He thought that didn't seem so bad. But remember, he's coming from a 4S. Shh. So to him, even the 6 is like, oh my God. And to me, it's not so bad because I've had a year with the interim 5S. So, you know, I've spent a year with that extra row of icons at the bottom. So to me, it still seems a little bigger than I want. But I can see where maybe it would be something that I could adjust to. And initially, when he was kind of kicking around the idea of maybe getting one, I told him that I thought he would want the Plus ultimately, because I know a lot of what he does with his phone is consumption. And I'm not going to be able to remember who it was. Maybe you remember who it was. It was a Dan formerly of Macworld.
Frakes Morin.
Yeah, like I said, I don't remember. But he wrote up a little article, I think over at Six Colors, about
That was Dan Frakes.
Why he went with the Plus. So I sent it to Mr. Kelly and I said, "This is all the stuff I was trying to explain to you that I was doing a very terrible job of explaining to you." And it was basically him saying that what made the Plus appealing to him was when he stopped thinking about his iPhone as a phone, because he was like, when I do talk on it, I don't hold it to my head. And to have that much screen to be able to do things with, like I like to read, I like to, you know, consume content while I'm out and about, and this is a really great way to do that. And to have it all on his phone, you know, was very appealing to him. And also the optical image stabilization in the camera, I think, was appealing to him as well. But
finish your thought and then we'll come back to that.
But I think that, I think overall what I'm going to be curious about is the return rate on the Plus, because on Friday on the big show, on the Mac show over at the British Tech Network, Andy Anatko was saying, the reason he thinks that there's a lot of interest in the 6 Plus is because it seems like it is a new device. It doesn't seem like it's the iPhone that we're used to. And like, kind of, even when you look at the 6 still kind of like, yeah, it's an iPhone. But when you look at the Plus sort of seems like it's kind of a different animal. So he's sort of interested. You know, he thinks that that's where a lot of that interest is coming from. And what I think is, I really want to find out what kind of return rate people get on the 6 Plus as soon as they spend a week carrying it around in their pocket or trying to sit down with that thing in their pocket and whatever, and go, yeah, there's just no way. And then they decide to return it and get a 6 instead.
Well, Yeah. I mean, if it really depends on your use case and your carry policy. I carry my phone, my 5, in my pants pocket. That's where it lives. But I'm a dude. I don't have a purse or a man bag. Oh, I do have a man bag, actually. I have a really nice little canvas iPad bag, and my camera bag has a slot for my... Anyway, all that said, I don't usually have a readily accessible handbag.
That description means I'm going to have to start calling it a purse.
Well, look, there's a utility to it, particularly if you have clothes that don't have pockets. But my clothes have pockets.
Well, and so do mine, and I make a point of that. And so I am a person who also, I carry my phone in my left-hand pocket, not my right-hand pocket, not either back pocket. I carry my phone in my left-hand pocket. That's where my phone goes.
Right.
And I have been teased about this by Mr. Kelly, who says, I know your phone's in your pocket, because if it wasn't, you'd be out of balance and just walk in a little circle. And he's probably right.
Well, in this, I mean, I also carry my phone in my left-hand pocket, pickpockets note, but even though I'm not left-handed, because that's where my wallet is not. So there's room for it there. Now, with the 5 and the 5S, they're thicker. I would worry less about bending over and crushing it. But also, they're not as tall as either the 6 or the 6 Plus, and there's a certain depth limit to the pocket, thigh, hip arrangement. Now, if I were someone who carried my phone elsewhere, I wouldn't care so much about the size. And in fact, this is where we get to the Mrs. Mike part of the conversation as opposed to the Mr. Kelly part of this conversation. So Mrs. Mike, or I'm just going to say Heidi because that sounds really weird to me. You know, it's very easy for you. It's very normal for you.
Yeah, but it only took me like 4 years or 5 years of Mr. Kellying to be something it's easy for me to say.
Well, all right. Fewer syllables.
Yes.
So Heidi, who is my spouse, she is currently rocking that same iPhone 4, and we've been saying this is her upgrade. It's like, what's time? Mm-hmm. We've been looking at some of the AT&T Next and Verizon More Everything Edge, and she's an AT&T customer, thinking about do we include more family members? Do we get all the various permutations? But the big one, of course, is which device?
The big one, of course, is how big.
Is which bit, how big? Which big one would you like? So 5S, 6, or 6 Plus. And I pushed back on her a little bit, and I said, and she said 6 Plus. And I said, well, you know, I've had hands-on with it now. It's quite ample. Not too big necessarily, but it's definitely noticeable. And she uses her iPad for work all the time. She does a lot of typing on her iPad. And she said, look, I don't carry my phone in a pocket. My phone is in my bag. My phone is always in my bag. If I need to take it out, I take it out of my bag and then I put it back in my bag. When I'm in the car, which I'm in a lot more than you are, and I'm making calls through Bluetooth. The size of my phone is irrelevant. My phone could be the size of a pea.
Because it's still in her bag to do the Bluetooth, which is awesome. Yeah.
So, but when I do take it out, it's an out and back situation, and I'm generally not making calls on it, holding it up. And most importantly, you know, she read Matthew Panzerino's excellent piece over at TechCrunch, which if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it, because of all the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus reviews out there, of which there are quite a few.
They're legion.
Matthew did something really interesting, and what he did is he took. And this another thing, I had a brief conversation with Ed Begg about this, and we agreed that this took balls of steel for Matthew to do this. He took the phones to Disneyland.
No.
He took the 6 and the 6 Plus, and he went to Best Buy, and he found approximated Galaxy cases that were about right.
Yeah.
And cut out the camera cutout, and he took... Yeah. Disguised iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus to Disneyland. So, and his point is well taken, which is that, look, this is really the perfect environment to test a phone, because it is the most dense. It's the most dense use situation you can possibly imagine. You're taking a crap load of pictures. You're using maps. You're using messaging. You're in a really, really dense, rotten RF environment.
Oh yeah, you know, horrible.
You've got it. Your LTE's
and you're using
got
whatever
work.
App you're using to track all the lines and track all your fast passes and whatever.
Right. You're
because have I ever taken a phone to Disneyland and spent a lot of time with it? Maybe you know,
you have.
5 or 6 times. Yeah.
Perhaps that's happened. So you're using the heck out of the phone. You're using it in situations where it's you're moving around fast. It's stressful. You got to have a good handle on it. And you're taking so many pictures. In so many different lighting and motion scenarios.
Well-lit pictures, poorly lit pictures, pictures of food, pictures where it's half sun and half shade, pictures where it's all sun, pictures where it's all shade. Like, every imaginable lighting situation can be had at a Disneyland park.
I mean, really, the only thing you're not doing is watching videos and, you know, potentially listening to podcasts. But you're doing everything else. And so and that's like, why this was smart.
Yeah, because, I mean, you may need to make a call. You are probably texting the other people in your party to find out when they got out of the Haunted Mansion so that you can find out how much longer you have to linger at the Julep Bar. You're doing, you know, did you get this? You're texting people at home going, I was going to get so-and-so this for Christmas. Is this? Do you think it's a good idea? You're waiting for that answer because you're about to get in line to get your other stuff. Like, yeah, it is a place where you can live out of your phone. And I think it's interesting because I always use Disneyland as a data point. The last time I was there, just about, I think we're coming up on, gosh, we are coming up on 2 years ago. I was at Disneyland trying to go back. So we were at Disneyland and I was using it as sort of an assessment of like what people in the world are using as their mobile communicator. And, I saw a lot. This was just after the 4S had been released because it was later in the year. The 4S was out. So we've had the 4 and the 4S, and there were a load of people there who were rocking the 3G and 3GS case, like because they didn't have a case on their phone. It was very obvious what phone they were using, and it was a whole lot of that. And so I wonder how many people who got a 4 or a 4S are in exactly Heidi's boat. Like, I didn't need the upgrade. I was really happy with my phone, and now I'm having a physical issue. The home button doesn't work. I've cracked my screen. The power button's gone funny. And so now it really is time for me to upgrade. And so I'm going to go hang out, you know, and see what the 6 or the 6 Plus is. And I think a lot of those people might be in Heidi's position. If I were a person who had a habit of leaving my phone in my bag all the time, I would probably be a believer in the 6 Plus. But I also know that Mr. Kelly is a two-handed phone operator most of the time. And he also has the Bluetooth calling in his car, all that kind of stuff. So to me, it seems like it would make sense for him to have a little bit bigger screen. And I think the other reason that Apple might have found some appeal in a larger screen is an aging population.
Well, that's true. And we know people who are older have worse eyes. But I want to go back. And by the way,
my dad, a few months ago, bought an Android device because it was bigger than the iPhone they had at Walmart. Yeah.
Well, that actually even goes back to the before the launch of the iPad, which I meant to do this for Throwback Thursday. I found my Fox Business Pop from the pre-announcement of the iPad 4 years ago. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. but you know, when the iPad was announced and people's like, oh, why would I want that? It's just a big iPod Touch. And then you talk to anyone over the age of 35 and they're like, it's a huge iPod Touch. That's awesome.
And anybody else is like, what? It's a huge iPod Touch. And everyone else and all their parents are going, it's a huge iPod
Touch.
That's
what I needed. But you know, one of the things that came up in Matt's review when he was taking the phones around Disneyland was the difference between the digital image stabilization on the 6 and the optical image stabilization on the 6 Plus, which is, by the way, really the only spec differential aside from the screen between those two phones. And that is what Heidi is particularly interested in. My wife has an essential tremor. Hands shake.
Yeah.
And it's not crazy, but it's noticeable. And it makes it very hard for her with her current phone
to take a picture.
Really any point and shoot camera to take a picture because her hands are shaking. So
and you have kids.
Yeah.
So pictures are important. Yeah.
Pictures and video are important. And when it comes to, you know, what Panzerino said was that the 6 Plus was giving him about 3 stops better low light performance because of that image stabilization. But there's not that many situations where he was seeing that it would make a difference. And I'm thinking, well, but that actually means that you could shoot 3 stops faster in daylight.
Yeah.
So your shutter speed's going to be way higher. Mm-hmm. Or the equivalent shutter speed is going to be higher because right. because the camera shake is not as bad. So that may indeed push us over the limit. What I am intending to do, and I'm announcing this here. This is an exclusive for the after show listener. So let us know.
So whoever you are, you got to be super excited right now.
And we tease. We know Patrice is listening. I know
there's like five of you.
I haven't looked at the stats, actually. I haven't looked at the stats recently. But there's a few people listening. But the announcement is that I'm going to be going to TechServe sometime in the next couple of weeks with my wife. And we are going to go. And we are going to sit down there with the phones. And we're going to do a photo test for someone who has shaky hands. And nice. We will tell you what the deal is. We will find out what the deal is and how much better it makes it. So... So that's what we're planning to do. By the way, we have 107 listeners. Mm. We had 107 listeners for the last show. So thank you all 100 of you. Thank you guys. You hear that, sponsors? Yeah.
Come on, Squarespace.
Come on, audio engine.
We're waiting. So here's the thing that I want to know about the phones. And the reason I don't know is because I don't know anybody in person. I know people, but right. I don't know anybody physically nearby who has an iPhone 6 or a 6 Plus because here's what I really want to know. Dave Hamilton over at Mac Observer was at the event. And while he was there, because I asked him, I was like, you know, what's the deal? And he said the Apple rep there let him put the 6 Plus in his pocket and walk around. And he said it felt fine in his pocket. And the thing I want to know is, if you put it in your pocket, what happens when you sit down? Can you sit down?
No, because sitting down is bad for you. Don't you know that? Doesn't it all come together? The 6 Plus, it's bigger. Health kit. And
that's how the watch is going to get you to walk around.
And because you physically can't sit down anymore with the phone in your pocket. It all makes sense. Are you getting it? It's a phone, an internet communicator, and something that prevents you from sitting down.
Gets you off your butt.
Are you getting it?
That's awesome. I never thought about it like that. And here's the thing is that, and I've said this a lot, and the reason I know that is because I found in Time Hop like 2 years and 2 days ago or something where I said the iPhone 5, you know, I'm a girl, and as a result I wear pants for girls and they have pockets for girls, and the iPhone 5 won't fit in my pants. And that's still more or less true. I have to let it kind of periscope out the top of the pocket. On almost every thing that I wear to clothe the bottom half of my body. Most of the time it has to poke out a little bit because otherwise I can't sit down. And I want to know, or it ends up like across my leg, and then that's just not fun. It's not a comfortable way to walk around. So I'm really curious. I want to see somebody who has a 6 Plus, like, put it in their pants pocket. And I want it to be, like, not fancy pants, not cargo pants. I want somebody with, like, a pair of Levi's to put a 6 Plus in their pocket and sit down and tell me what happens. That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm sure Dave would do that if you asked him to.
Well, now that he's got one, I think he will. I want to find out what happens when you sit down. And we also were able to ask him about the watch, which was kind of fun because he did say that – because we were able to get a hold of him while he was in the demo building. And we're like, ask about left-handed people.
So, ask about the left-hand – that's like the cult. It's like ask about the Zoroastrians. That's not a cult, by the way. Don't I look forward to your letters. But it was the first thing that came to mind.
It was just because I was like, gosh, you know, they did what I wanted. They made one Kelly sized, and maybe this is a thing that I can have some interest in, because I didn't have any interest when it looked like it was going to be something the size of my phone that was strapped to my arm. Like, I don't need that. And they made a slightly smaller one, and it comes in a variety of things. And I was like, maybe I have some interest in it. And then Jeff Gamet, fellow left-hander, said, I'm not interested unless I can, or, you know, something about basically, I'm not interested because you have to do everything with the crown and I can't manage that. And I'm like, oh, I knew there was a catch. So the two of us ganged up on Dave and made him ask, and he said, yeah, you just put it on the other way, and then it's got a setting, and there you go. And I'm like, now I have a little tiny bit of interest again.
Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what I cannot get out of my head now is the idea of you sneaking up on Dave Hamilton and hitting him in the back of the knees with a piece of rebar, forcing him to sit down with the phone in his pocket. It's like you said, maybe we can get him to sit down. I'm like, how? How would we do that? What would be the process? Do we need an RFP? I mean, how does that even work? Dave, we love you. We don't want
to
hit you.
Compelling to sit down. To sit down as a service. Seating is a service.
Seating is a service. That's it. Sitting is a service. We're not, Dave, we are not going to go all Tonya Harding on you.
Absolutely
but we
not.
Would love to know.
I can see why you might think that since this is her native land.
But no. If our listeners, if you are people of the 6 Plus and you have, since the purchase of your phone, sat down, we would love to hear how that
went
for you.
With it in your pocket.
With it in your pocket. We'd love to hear that one for you.
I understand it may not have made it into your pocket because you may still need to have it in your hand because you are amazed and impressed. And I'm convinced that somehow there's a little of the RDF in every one of those devices. And, you know, everybody is sort of hypnotized by them now. And I think that there's probably a lot of them that have not hit a pocket since then. So, and if you wanted to even put it in your pocket and shoot video of I'm having a seat and I'm doing so with comfort. I would like to see that. And I know how weird that sounds, but it's the internet. So that kind of makes it okay.
I would love to see that. You talk about the little bit of the RDF. You wonder when the iFixit guys are finally going to find like the Steve's eyelash that is inserted into every phone.
I know.
It's in there.
I kind of do. And I do want to give another public shout out to the iFixit guys, because the iFixit guys are really awesome. Years ago on the TalkCast, I mentioned once that that I always upgrade my hardware myself. I do it. And that I did, you know, and that whenever I needed help with something, iFixit had a guide. And iFixit is amazing because they take pictures of every step. And like, there's no way you ever feel intimidated because you're like, it's just steps. So all I have to do is unscrew these screws and then bam, there I am. And I can do this and that and the other and whatever. And so I spent a moment talking about how great they were. And then I got to meet Kyle at Macworld. I think you introduced us, actually, Mike.
It's possible.
Ages ago, like maybe 2011 or something. And Kyle said, oh, wait, you do the TalkCast. Hold on. And fishes out a screwdriver set and handed me a screwdriver set and said, you were really great about us on the TalkCast, and handed me that screwdriver set. And I never forgot that. And I kept that screwdriver set. It is near and dear to my heart. And I just used it to put a new hard drive and a new power supply in my TiVo. And every time I use that screwdriver set, it makes me happy. And I just want to thank Kyle again for having given me a screwdriver set. And I'm even more happy about it now, because it turns out all of the screws in my TiVo are not only Torx screws, but Torx screws that I have bits for, thanks to my super awesome iFixit screwdriver set.
So thank you, not yet a sponsor, iFixit.
But I love the stuff that they do and you know what they're about.
People.
And yeah, and it's really cool that somebody who, because everybody either was or knows somebody who was the kid who took everything apart because you wanted to know what was in there. And they've turned that into a business. And I love that.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful. They're an essential part of every iPhone launch. They are the John Siracusa OS X review of of iPhone launches,
and they totally are.
And we do look forward to their teardowns. And go check them out at iFixit.com. We have got to wrap it up for the moment because it is getting a little bit late here on ye old East Coast. But we are looking forward to your calls and letters. We do want to see those videos of you.
Yes.
Of you sitting down with your iPhone 6 Plus in your pocket.
Six, because I'm curious about the six people too.
Either one will do, but what we need we're going to need your height, weight, and pants size.
Now it sounds creepy.
If you're Jeff Gamet, we just need your short size. If you could do this wearing a unofficial Apple weblog, Mac Observer, iFixit, if you could wear it wearing a Cirque du Mac t-shirt, that would be, we will definitely feature your video
bonus
on our audio only podcast. at a future date. But thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Kelly, for making the time on a Saturday night to chat.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to what happens in the next week to see what else we have to discuss.
I look forward to that as well. We will be back soon, folks. We're trying again to get more on a regular schedule. We're eating our fiber and taking our Metamucil, so we'll be regular soon because we are old. We are Mike and Kelly. This has been The After Show. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you soon.